Who do you say that he is? Why don't you look at your neighbor and tell them who you say that he is? Right? Good morning, Journey Church. How are you? All right. You're doing well? Everybody, why don't you give your neighbor a big high five? If you're married to them, give them a holy hug. You can tell them just look at your other neighbor and say you're very much loved, if that's more comfortable for you. Man, great day. Great day, isn't it? The last Sunday of August, right? Next week is September. Can you believe that? It was almost like Y2K was yesterday, wasn't it? Y'all know what I'm talking about. All right. Man, I'm just so glad you're here. A couple things I want to reiterate. For your benefit, is the WeConnect has started back up, and we've got three classes going on. We've got the Hispanic class back in the children's area. We've got the Getting a Grip on the Basics in the cafeteria area right over here. And I want to encourage, if you did not go through that already, to please be here next Sunday at 9:30, and don't miss that. Lee and Maria Smoller are teaching. They're the instructors there. Please, it will benefit you greatly, tremendously. And for those of you that have been through Getting a Grip on the Basics, we are have started a Getting a Grip on the Basics of Generous Living. And don't let the title scare you. Don't let it run your way. Don't let it make you think, I know that. Boy, that is the biggest danger in the body of Christ. You know that? It really is. Whenever we get to a place where we're saying, I already know that, here's what you've done. You have just closed off any opportunity God has to get something new to you through what you already know. How many of you have ever read John 3:16? Have you got the full revelation on that scripture yet? No, you don't. We don't. None of us do. Maybe after today we'll have a little bit more. But let's not fall into the danger of saying, I already know it. And then the second danger to classes like that is we think, because we've been indoctrinated enough through the media and bad examples, is this. Well, if it has anything to do with finances, I don't want to know about it because it's in church. And man, you know, the Bible is the best business book ever written. Thank you. The Bible is the best financial book ever written. Oh, wow. You guys, you know, I think I'm going to teach on this morning. Anyway, it really is. And if you struggle in any area financially, guess where the first place you should go to is? The Bible, God's Word. If you're not struggling financially, but you want to improve in that area, where do you go? The Bible. You know, every question I'm about to answer, I mean ask, the answer is the Bible. Let me just go ahead and tell you the answer, okay? So if there's anything you need to know about finances, where's the best place to go?
The Bible.
Amen. There you go. Man, we're sharp this morning, aren't we? Hallelujah. Is it the rain? All right, let's be in charge of our own destiny this morning, not the rain, yay? All right, have you got your Bibles with you? Those classes are at 9:30. 9:30 every Sunday morning, Getting a Grip on the Basics. And I can see it's not going to be a sit-down day today. Getting a Grip on the Basics, Hispanic, Getting a Grip on the Basics of the Basics, and Getting a Grip on the Basics of Generous Living in the youth room. 9:30 every single Sunday. Okay, have we got our Bibles open yet? Turn with me to the book of Romans. What I want to do, I tell you what, turn with me to 1 John. Let's start there first. Turn with me to 1 John. And that's just, you know, Acts, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, 1st Thessalonians, James, and keep turning. You hit Revelation, you've went too far. And we're going to start in the book of 1 John, and we'll probably start in chapter 3 this morning. And we'll just see where the Holy Spirit takes us. But what I want to do is just, is really piggyback the message from last Sunday. And if you don't remember last Sunday, or if you weren't here last Sunday, I'll give you some sort of review, and we'll go from there. But I want to talk a little bit more in depth about the love of God for us, and just kind of sit back in that this morning for a few minutes and not yell at you and not preach to you. But let's just sit back in it and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Can we do that? Everybody say, yeah, I'm here. Hallelujah. Okay. All right, here's the title. And this is the same title I used last week. And I know you don't remember it because it's got like 7 or 8 words to it. And it's just very long. And to try to remember it would be difficult. But what I'm talking to you about again today is the unconditional. Everybody just repeat it with me. Say unconditional.
Unconditional.
Unreserved.
Unreserved.
Unlimited.
Unrestricted,
unmitigated,
undiluted,
totally perfect,
totally passionate,
and totally present. All right, love of God. So that's what I want to talk to you about. And the reason I picked out all of these words and use them in sort of an adjective type way is because really to describe the love of God is just impossible. You'd have to use all the languages of the world and all the angelic languages that there are and all the languages of the universe that we have no clue about and combine them, and it still would not do the love of God justice. Yet, let me just add this in here, that love is directed and pointed to humanity, all of it. Now, just like last week, let me say this. When I'm talking about this today, let's lay aside religion. Let's lay aside, preconceived ideas. Let's lay aside caveats. Let's lay aside stipulations. Let's lay aside the big word if. Let's lay those things aside just for today. Can we do that? So when I talk to you about how much God loves you, religion's going to pop up in your head and say, yeah, but. When I talk to you this morning about how God wants to bless you, religion is going to pop up and say, yeah, if. But for today, just today, for the next 25, 30 minutes, let's just relish and enjoy the love of God and relax in that, can't we? Can we do that? Can I get a show of hands that you're saying, you know what, I'm going to do it. Those of you that's not raising your hand, raise your hand anyway. Just, throw me off, at least I think you got it, okay? And so let's relax for the next few minutes and let's pull out some scripture and let's talk about how much God loves us. Now, I want to start by asking a question. For those of you that have kids, it'd be a great question to ask of how much do you love your kid? And most people, my son-in-law was the only one in here that went a lot, more than anything. We love our kids more than anything, don't we? And you, for most parents, it doesn't really matter what our children do. We're going to love them. And especially moms. Come on, mamas. Mama, come on. We're women. Especially mothers. You're like, they might be messing up and doing this, but, that's my kid. I can talk about my kid, but you talk about my kid, Mama Bear's going to come out. True, isn't it? So we love our kids, and that love, I just want to tap on that for just a second, that love you have for that child, your baby, your baby, fathers and mothers both, the love that God has for you is so far beyond and so much more than that, that there's no measurement. That's why it's hard to teach on it, it's hard to talk about it, it's hard to read about it because there's no standard of measurement. We just know that when we look at that child and we hold that baby girl or boy and we feel that feeling and we go, man, I just love this kid. That's the only measurement that we have. Yet the love that God has for us goes so far beyond that that there's no measuring device that's been created or invented or even thought about that could say, but this is how much God loves me. It's so far beyond that and so much greater. One of my favorite verses of Scripture is found in Ephesians chapter 1. It's the prayer that the Apostle Paul was praying for the church of Ephesus and for the Ephesians in general. And then he let us know that he was praying this for all the churches present and to come, which includes Journey Church. And so this prayer was actually prayed for you about 2,000 years ago. And one of the prayers that he was praying, one of the sentences in that prayer that he prayed that day was this, that you would know the greatness of his might and power towards you. And the picture that he puts is this big bullseye on every human being, and the power and the love and the generosity and the goodness of God in all of the universe and all of the things that's been created. And scientists are coming out saying now that creation is continuing by the light years to continue, because the day that God said light, let there be light, it just kept going. And then thousands of years later, it's still going and going and going. And creation of the universe is continually expanded. That in all of that, that there was one focal point, one destination for the love and the power of God, even greater than the creation of the universe, even greater than raising Jesus from the dead, was the destination point was you. So you are all that. You really are. You are something to God. Remember, I heard it just pop up in somebody's head. There went a caveat, there went a stipulation, there went an if. No, just for the next few minutes, you're everything to him. You're everything. You are everything to him. Now, I want to read you some scripture, and then we're going to talk about three or four things that holds us back from believing that, and then we'll be blessed and we'll let you go home. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John 3, 1 says this, "See how great a love that the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called the children of God, and such we are." One way that we could read that and do it justice, we could read it this way. We could start at the bottom and go to the top, and we could go, hey, we've been called or we've been made the children of God. Doesn't that show us how much he loves us? I want you to think about that. We could be angels. He could have said, you know what, I just want to create another group of angels. And angels, I'm just going to create some new angels, and I'm not going to give them a free will. I'm just going to create these beings, and I'm going to make them worship me. I'm going to make them love me. I'm going to make them do service for me. I'm just going to create these angels. But Scripture tells us that we were made and created above the angels. That's what Scripture says. He could have said, you know what, these beastly creatures that you read about in the book of Revelation that sit before the throne and cry out, holy, 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 night and day, 365 days a year, if that's the best we could measure time, forever and ever and ever, and all they do is cry, holy, 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 before the throne of God. He could have created us that way, but God wanted someone, he wanted a being, a creation that would love him with our own free will, that we would choose to love him for who he is. And so what he did in turn was he said this, I'm going to create this being. I'm going to call them a human being. I'm going to create a man. I'm going to create a woman. I'm going to put them together. And I'm going to pour out and lavish everything that I have and give them everything that I have and all of me and give to them and show them how much I love them. And their only response has to be, I love you back. I'm going to move. In fact, God says, I'm going to move heaven and I'm going to move earth. I'm going to give up my son. I'm going to pour every wicked, evil, sinful thing that man does. I'm going to put all that on my son who I love with everything so I can love them without any boundaries or barriers between us. And I'm going to do that. And their only response has to be, I love you back. That's it. I love you back. As a matter of fact, some of you, even here this morning, you still hadn't grabbed hold of that. You're hearing me preach it, you're still not internalizing it because I'm listening to some of you pray. I do. Y'all love me, right? I'm not rebuking. I just want to teach you a little bit. Do you know that the love of God, he loves you so much that he's already provided every single thing that you're ever going to need to live on this life, everything. But you spend most of your time begging him to give you things he's already provided. And he's already provided it to you out of his love for you. Yet we're continually begging God to do and to give and to bless us with things that he's already provided. And the reason you're begging him for things that he's already provided is because you don't really understand how much he loves you. Because when you understand how much he's loved you and how much love he's bestowed on you, your whole prayer life and mentality and your attitude towards life radically changes that very second that you really begin to realize, wait a minute, Christianity is a rest. I can relax in this thing. He loves me with an everlasting love. And then I begin just to receive everything that he's provided for me. Let me give you four things real quickly. Just bear with me. I want to give you, I've got about four, maybe five things that I want to talk to you about that are really filters that prevent us from receiving the best that God has. Remember, Scripture teaches it's ours. He's poured it out on us. No ifs, no caveats, no stipulations. He loves you with an everlasting love, and he's provided everything that he has. Listen, when you got born again, when you asked Christ to come into your heart and you said, Lord, I receive your forgiveness that you've already provided to this whole planet. I receive it right now. And Christ moves into you. He doesn't leave anything out. I know sometimes we think, okay, God the Father is in heaven and Jesus is at the right hand and the Holy Spirit just comes in partially and he just kind of leaves a lot of his stuff in heaven, and some glad day when this life is over, we'll get to heaven and we'll get to experience all of the best of God. But what we need to understand is that all the best of God moved in you, Mr. and Mrs. Believer, the day that you received Christ. All of it. You have that. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that I have direct access to the Father and every single thing he has because of the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of me. Whew, yeah. Now just stop and think for just a second. Think about the issues and the problems that you're dealing with. And most everybody in this room, if we were just to be honest, and we're not going to be openly honest, I just want you to think about it. But if I were to go through and say, okay, what kind of an issue are you dealing with? What kind of an issue are you dealing with? And we went one to one person to each person to each person. Most of us in this room are dealing with issues, some big issues, some major issues, some huge, humongous issues of our life. And every issue has been provided for in Christ. It has. I might not know what it is, but I guarantee it's been provided for in Christ. Now, here's our issue. I'm going to give you, like I said, four or five things. These are filters that we put on that hinders us from fully receiving all that God has for us. Because we tend to judge God based on how we respond. Are you with me? That's what religion does. Religion comes up with a whole bunch of rules and regulations, and you can't do this, and you better not do this, and you better dress this way, and you better fix your hair this way, and you better not wear a hat, and you better wear a hat, you better not get a tattoo, you better get a tattoo. I mean, all kind of just stuff to get people to be in bondage that prevents us from experiencing the full, unlimited, powerful love of God. The first thing is this, our love, everybody say our. Oh, this is huge. Our love, now I don't get mad at me for saying this, but our love is so conditional, it's not even funny. It is. I'm talking to Christians here. We love who we want to love, but we always... Now, some stretch it out further than others, and some it's shorter than others. But listen, most Christians love conditionally. We put conditions on our love. We don't say it. We don't think it. But, you know, actions speak louder than words, don't they? We love when things are good. When things are bad, we don't love. And most Christians put a condition on our love to other people. And the difference is God doesn't. He doesn't. Come on, somebody over here. He doesn't. He doesn't put a condition on his love to you. He doesn't. He just loves you. The very first scripture that we begin to realize how much he really loves us, I mean, there's lots of them up to this scripture, but John 3:16, what does it say? For God so liked the world? No, for God so what? For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. For God so loved the world. He could have looked throughout all of heaven and never found anything better to give and to sacrifice than he did with his son. That was top. That was it. There was nothing better in all of heaven, in all the universe, that he could have given for us. And he says this, for God so loved the world. Now, I think sometimes we read that. We read that and we just automatically, subconsciously think, well, yeah, the world. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, I don't even know what he was thinking. I don't know. He must have been smoking something. But this guy was a preacher's kid. And we're having this dialogue and this conversation. And he says, I just got mad at me. I was talking to him about Jesus because he had backslidden. I was talking to him about Jesus loving him. And man, Jesus, God loves you, man. He said, God doesn't love me. I said, what? At that point, I thought he was smoking something. Really? You're a PK and you don't know that God loves you? He said, God doesn't love me. And in fact, Doug, I'll just tell you that John chapter, he just quoted this verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know that verse of scripture, Doug? I said, I know that verse of scripture. He said, well, God wasn't talking about all people. He was talking about a select group of people. Yeah. Sad, isn't it? Because the truth is, God loved the whole world regardless. Now listen to me. You may or may not like what I'm about to say. But God loves people in other countries, in other cities, in other circumstances, in other religions, in other decisions that they're making. Bad, good, evil. He loves them with an everlasting love. There's no conditions on his love for them. Love is not conditional when it comes to God. But because we're Christians, we tend to condition our love. We think sometimes God does his, but he doesn't. Can I bring it a little bit closer to home? How many times have we heard about, you know, in our country, churches splitting and dividing, and one church goes over here and they're all happy and worshiping and loving Jesus, and this church goes over here and they're all happy and loving Jesus and excited, but boy, you try to pull them together, it's like oil and water because there's a hatred for one another. They wanted to play the piano and they wanted to play the organ, glory to God, and you know pianos are more sanctified than organs. Come on, somebody. You know, being in ministry for years, you hear all kind of stuff. I'll never forget this. This is so funny. And now I'm so glad it's been so many years. I can tell you the story, but it's been years. I couldn't say anything about it, but now I can. The folks that were a part of this, they've gone to be with Jesus in heaven, so we can talk about it. But I just had gotten out of Bible school. And I started pastoring this church, and we had about 20 people, you know, and all kind of debt, and here I took this church, and they're like, welcome to our church. Here's $350,000 of debt, Pastor Doug. Now you're in charge. I'm like, oh, help me, Jesus. Well, I began to, you know, 32 years old, excuse me, I began to preach, okay, here's what we're going to do, man. We're going to grow this church, and we're going to reach out, and we're going to become multicultural. And I began to harp on multicultural, and this was an all-white church of about 20 people. And so I'm like, we're going to have, you know, African Americans and Latinos and Asian. I mean, I don't even know if I was being politically correct or not, the things I was saying. But the heart was, let's reach other cultures because heaven's full of other cultures. Our church ought to look like full of other cultures. And so I found this guy to lead worship, and he was from Southern California, and his parents were from Mexico. And I'd been preaching this, and everybody's amening me. And they're like, come on, let's do it. Like, yeah, woo. So I brought this worship leader in. And just, man, just an amazing, amazing, amazing man of God, an amazing worship leader. Kid, 19 years old, could just play anything. His name was Sam. And first Sunday, he's up on that baby grand piano, and folks are coming in, and man, he's like, look what the Lord has. He's singing that song, Look What the Lord Has Done. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you know, there's like 40 people by this time. He's like, look what the Lord has done. Doom, doom, doom. Yeah. And one lady walks in the back door, and I mean just loud too. I'm like, oh my gosh. She goes, who's that Mexican on our piano? I'm like, oh Jesus, I need to do a little bit more preaching. You see, it's one thing because our love is, listen, if we don't watch ourselves, we'll fall into the same boat of putting a condition on the love that we have forever for other people. And we need to understand something, that the church will never be its best when we're putting conditions on loving one another. Jesus said it this way. He goes, you know what? The world's going to know. They're going to know some things because they see how much you love one another. No conditions. Now, it's a battle every day, isn't it, Lee? Every day. It's a battle because we make it easy for you to have conditions on loving us. I know I do. Anybody in here like that? How many of you in here, you would just admit it right here before God that you are hard to love? Ooh, that's more than half. Some of you think you're hard to love. How many of you are married to somebody that's hard to love? I didn't see but one man raise his hand. Well, isn't it the truth? We put conditions, but to really love like God loves, we need to understand something. There are no conditions to his love. Now, there's conditions because we got to receive different things from him, but the love goes out, no conditions. Anybody, everybody on this planet, we have the same opportunity with God that anybody else has. Just because your last name's Graham doesn't mean that God loves you more. Come on. Let me read another verse of Scripture to you. Y'all okay? Okay. Turn to 1 John chapter 4, and let's look at, we'll start with verse 7. 1 John 4, 7. We may not even get to Romans 8 today, and that'll be all right. Romans, 1 John 4, 7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Woo, isn't that tough? Everyone that loves, let me just read this again. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and what? Knows God. So there's a whole lot of, you know what that tells me? Be careful, Pastor Doug. You're going to be judgmental. No, just listen. You know what it tells me? There's a whole lot of Christians that think they love God back, but because they don't love their own brothers and sisters, they don't even know who God is. Okay. Just going to get quiet in here. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And number two. Here's another reason. Here's another filter that we put up with love. Number two, we do this. We love out of our feelings. We do. How many times have, now nobody in here's ever said it. Nobody. I just don't feel like you love me anymore. First off, love is not just an emotion. Now, thank God for the emotion of love. But love is not just an emotion. It's not. Love is an action. Love is act. Oh, thank God it's raining. I get to preach longer. You just relax because you don't want to get wet, do you? Amen. Preach it. Preach it. Thank you. Love is a decision. I grew up, I was very fortunate, very fortunate to grow up. And Phyllis is here. I grew up with Phyllis. If you guys didn't know that, we grew up together, went to the same school, same church. And she knew my family. I know her family. But I was very fortunate to grow up with a grandmother who literally loved unconditionally. Now, her husband was a piece of work, hub. My grandmother just, she was such a servant. And she, I remember just watching her. And in fact, she's the reason, she's one of the two reasons why I'm in ministry today. I watched her. She would love people and serve people and love them unconditionally. And whenever she's around a group of Christians at church and they would start talking about, because, you know, Christians, we don't gossip. We got prayer requests, you know, and I know how that works. But any time other Christians were trying to share a prayer request with her about somebody else, she'd just say, well, you know, maybe we don't know what they're going through. Maybe we ought to just pray for them. And I watched her and she modeled that for me, and it just affected me. And I married somebody just like that. I did. I mean, my grandmother, my wife, Debbie's always back here working. I'm going to brag on her a little bit. But I don't think I've ever known anybody that serves people and loves people without conditions. I've watched her just help people that I'm thinking in my head, dear Lord, just let them go. They're crazy. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? You know, I got a little choleric personality. Sometimes I'm just like, really? I'll pray for you at home. I'm going to go do something. And watch her just spend hours and hours and hours and patiently walk people off the ledge and patiently get people back to where they need to be, patiently rescue. I've watched her do that with, I don't know how many, dozens, maybe hundreds of people in the last 20, 25 years of where she just invests the time into that person no matter how long it takes. The running joke around our house with her is she's like, well, I'm going to a meeting. I mean, I would ask her, do you mean a counseling session? And she goes, well, no, I'm just going to go meet with them. And I'm like, okay, you're leaving. It's 9 a.m., so I'll probably see you, what, about 5 or 6 or 7? And the thing about the way I'm seeing it modeled is it's not a feeling. Because if you were to ask people that are like that, do you feel like loving these people through this? Well, no, I don't, because they're getting on my nerves too. But I do it because it's a choice. Do you think God ever looks at everything we do and says, man, I just am so excited that you're over here ruining your life? No, he doesn't. But he loves us anyway. And he's provided help to prevent us from running our life. But as long as we Christians are caught up in the filter of feelings, then it's very hard to express or understand the love God has for us. Because here's what I know. The moment you mess up, you'll filter the love of God for you through feelings. I don't know how many, come on, I'm going to say it. I don't know how many people over the years of ministry that I've went after and spoke to and tried to help and get back and talk to that have messed up. And because they've messed up, they just quit going to church and get mad at everybody. And they just quit going to church. And here's why. Because their filter of love is based on feelings. They just transfer that over to God's love must be based on feelings. And God loves you no matter how bad of a hair day that you're having. God loves you no matter how crazy you are and how goofy you are, no matter any of those things. He still loves you. It's not based on feelings. So look at me. Say this with me. Say, I receive that. Okay. The third thing is that we do is this, real closely tied to the first two, but sometimes our love for each other is just based on how good they are to us. You ever seen that? I mean, if I were to, and I'm not, but if I were to pull my wallet out, which I don't have on me, it's locked up, but if I pulled my wallet out and I said, okay, I'm going to give everybody in here a $100 bill. All you've got to do is just come up here right now and just say, hey, I love you. And I'll give you that $100. He said, that was quick. He's like, I love you. Quick. He's like, So if I were to say, I'm going to give everybody a $100 bill. And here's your $100. And wouldn't it be easy to love me that day? It would. And then next week, if I walked up to you and said, hey, give me $100, and you're like, it'd be harder to love me that day, wouldn't it? Because we tend to love people based on the good that they can do for us. And God, think about this, for God so loved the world that offered him nothing. Nothing, couldn't do anything for him. Nothing. He loved the world that couldn't do anything. For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten son for a world that rejected him, spit on him, hated him, talked about him, abused it, loved him anyway. Listen, no stipulations, no caveats, no ifs. Just receive the love for that. And then the fourth thing is this. You know what we do? We tend to love people more who are like us. This is huge. It's the root of all racism. In fact, it's the root of all isms. Because we love people that look like us, same financial boat as we are, like the same Georgia Bulldog team that we do, or Tennessee, or Florida, or Alabama, or whoever they are. Arkansas, oh, here we go. But we tend to love people who are like us. So the fourth thing, there's really four filters. We put conditions on our love. We love by feelings. Our love is based out of how good someone is to us. And then our love is dependent on if they're like us or not. Those are four areas that we as Christians, if they're our filters, they will harm us. Think about this. God, going back to that scripture in 1 John again, God came up with this plan that he said this. I'm going to, after I've created all this universe, I'm going to create this man and this woman, and they're going to fall, and all this is going to happen. I'm going to send Jesus. And I'm going to take every evil, wicked thing that humans have done, are doing, or will ever do. And I'm going to make, not put it on Jesus, but I'm going to make him, I'm going to turn him into that very horrible, sinful thing. And I'm going to have them nail him to a tree. And then he's going to be separated from me for 3 nights and 3 days and in a place of torment. And he's going to go through all that so that I can take the very love that I have for my only son, and I'm going to make it so that he's no longer my only son, but he'll be the firstborn of many brethren. And the same love that I have for him, I'm going to give it. Now here's what we need to understand. I'm going to give it, all of it, to every individual. To every individual. To every single individual. To everyone. Not just a whole big group of people. It's not like some big pie that's cut up and you get a slice of God's love and I get a slice of his love and she gets a slice of his love. It's just exactly like this. Everything God is and everything he has, he gives to you. Your only response is I receive it and I love you back. That's it. I receive it and I love you back. Without any filters, without the stuff that we come up with, you don't know what I've done. Oh, yes, he knows everything you've done. God knows everything you've done and he knows everything you're thinking. And you get a group of people together, there's some pretty horrible thoughts that can go on, right? Just because we're humans. And God says, regardless of all of that, David, all of, not some, all of my love, every single bit of it is yours. Just receive it. Just receive it. Allow me to be the one that fixes that broken heart. Allow me to one that fixes that broken body. Allow me to be the one to repair all those issues that you deal with. But the first start is just receive my love. Because I love you with such an everlasting love that I'm making you my son. Father, we just love you today. We thank you. We thank you for everything, God. We thank you for your mercy. God, we thank you for your love. And I'm praying right now, Lord Jesus, that you would help take the words that we shared today. And God, you would drive them into our heart, Lord. Lord, the Tom and Robert and Brenda and Susan, Diane, Becky, Doug, Danielle and Debbie and Thomas, Lisa, every name that could possibly be named in this room right now. Lord, show, God, just open up our eyes. Open up our hearts. Open up our minds. Open up our emotional being to be able to understand somewhat and receive the fact that I am so loved. That in the scope of the universe, that you chose me. That I'm chosen of you. My daddy, my father, in the name of Jesus.